Although elephants have no natural predators in the wild, thanks to demands for ivory in both Asia and the West, African elephants could disappear within the next 10 years. Since the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species banned the trade of ivory in 1989, that means all of the ivory leaving Africa and its harvest is taking place illegally. Here to talk about the situation and what we might be able to do about it are Dr. Paula Kahumbu, CEO of Wildlife Direct. She's behind the Hands Off Our Elephants campaign. And John Hemingway, chairman of Wildlife Direct and the filmmaker of a National Geographic documentary called Battle for Elephants. They've helped organize an international march for elephants that's taking place in 15 cities across the globe, including New York City, tomorrow. And I'm very pleased to welcome them to our show today.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Paula, this past July you told a New York Times reporter that ivory is leaving Africa at an unprecedented rate due to a surge in elephant poaching. Do we know what's caused that surge now?
Absolutely. In 1989, when the ivory trade was banned, it was actually because of the poaching that was going on at that time, and ivory trade was banned. In 2002, ivory trade was reopened in a partial and experimental trade, and ivory was sold to Japan, and then in 2008, ivory was sold to China, despite all the warnings that the demand in China would be too big to be controlled.
And you say that if poaching continues at this rate, the African elephant could be extinct in the wild in the next 10 years. How many elephants are there now?
Counting elephants is really hard because half of the elephants of Africa live in dense rainforest, and so the estimates of elephant numbers are quite variable, especially since they're counted from their dung. But it's estimated there are about 400,000. Some people think that's way overestimated and that it may actually be as low as 200,000. And we're losing between 30 and 40,000 elephants a year.
Now, John, are Asian elephants also endangered?
Yes, Asian elephants are endangered, but actually for different reasons. First of all, in Asia, there are only somewhere between 35 and 50,000 elephants. And it's a very, very different story altogether. The males in Asia don't have tusks. And the females do have... the females don't have tusks. The males do. And
it's always got to be on the male because we're the ones who do all the fighting.
Well, yeah, but also that, you know, they have a great trade in domestic elephants in Asia, in Thailand, and in northern India and Nepal, and Myanmar.
So they go to Africa to get the tusks.
So, if you really want to find tusks, you have to go to Africa.
Do you have to kill an elephant to acquire the ivory?
Definitely. There's a huge nerve that runs up the center of the tusks, and it takes up about two-thirds of the entire tusk. So I think that there's a kind of an urban legend that has gone through China that suggests that, you know, you can remove these tusks just as you would remove an impacted molar from a human. But it's not true. You can't do it.
Paula, don't elephants follow centuries-old migration patterns? Have they been changing their routes at all as humans continue to invade their territory and threaten them?
Absolutely. You know, John, I did my PhD research on elephants in Kenya. These animals are magnificent and incredible. Their brain is six times bigger than a human brain. That allows them to navigate over enormous landscapes. And they have been doing this, obviously, for centuries. And they were safe until people started hunting them. What's happening now is people are moving into areas that elephants had vacated because of poaching in the past. And there's now conflict where elephants will actually try to go on their ancient traditional migration routes and they will meet people. But there are efforts to now win those people over into conservation so that they will benefit from conservation through tourism and actually live and in coexistence with elephants.
Well, you mentioned elephant brains are large. They are reputed to have excellent memories. We know they mourn their dead. Are they learning to be wary of humans?
Oh, absolutely. Elephants are far more intelligent than anybody has ever given them credit for. It's really stupid that we think it's surprising that they mourn. These are incredibly sensitive, emotional animals that communicate in a secret language below our ability to hear.
And kind of like whales in that regard.
Exactly.
And we kill off whales as well.
Exactly. But, you know, elephants live in families, and so it's obvious that, you know, you've got this massive brain, you've got this incredible capacity for memory. Females live beyond the age of menopause, and they carry with them generations of knowledge about that landscape.
John, why hasn't the 1989 ban on international ivory trading worked?
Well, I think that, as Paula said, these two experimental sales in ivory actually fueled the market. Now, in classic economic terms, a lot of people believe that, well, we'll flood the market with this these stockpiled tusks, and that way the price of ivory will actually drop. Well, in fact, it did just the opposite, and it fueled a desire and a demand for ivory that was totally unprecedented, particularly the one in 2008 that Paula talked about. And now we estimate that something like 83% of ivory that is sold in China is illegal ivory. A lot of the Chinese ivory that is for sale in shops there, they say is legal. It came before the ban, or it came through this special sale. We just don't think that that's humanly possible, because there's so much stock there. There's so much being sold. It just is not. It's inconceivable.
And in your documentary, one of the journalists you interviewed is allowed to visit the ivory stockpile in Tanzania. He holds a relatively small tusk, maybe 2 to 3 feet long, up, and compares it to a tusk that's taller than he is. He says that poachers are now going after elephants that have hardly had time to grow. How old would the smaller tusk elephants have been when they were killed?
Oh, and that's the tragic part of it. I mean, some of these elephants, you know, as Paula says, I mean, an elephant can live until the age of 65, possibly older. And some of the elephants that are being killed are barely at the breeding stage. They would be maybe 12 years old, maybe 10, 12, 15, in that range. And they have these ridiculously small tusks. And you just ask yourself, it begs the question, why would you want to kill an elephant with such a small payload? Well, the answer is that ivory is just churning up so many great profits for these people that it still is worthwhile.
And it's led to a lot of orphaned elephant babies, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly. One of the really huge tragedies is that, yes, they do target the bigger elephants first. And when you kill a matriarch, so elephant families are led by these magnificent females, all of her sisters will surround her and try to protect her, and so they get gunned down as well, and then all their young get killed as well. And what happens is the babies, who have hardly had any time to grow, are left out there in the wilderness, and they will perish because elephants, like humans, need their mothers in order to survive.
My guests are Dr. Paula Kahumbu, CEO of Wildlife Direct, wildlife conservationist, and the person behind the Hands Off Our Elephants campaign. Also, John Hemingway, chairman of Wildlife Direct, and the writer, producer, and director of a National Geographic special called Battle for the Elephants. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Well, human lives are also being lost as a result of the ivory trade, aren't they?
Yeah, it's actually very tragic, and we'll start first with poachers. I think in Kenya alone, we've probably killed over 40 poachers every year. These are people who get into this business because they've been promised quick cash, often young men who actually are in their prime of productivity.
And then rangers as well.
Yeah, and then the sad thing, really, rangers are getting caught up in this. They will go off to protect elephants, and these poachers are criminals working for criminal gangs. Many of them are international criminal cartels, and they don't hesitate to shoot down government officials and rangers.
Hasn't it been speculated that there's a connection between Al-Shabaab, the group behind the recent attack on the Westgate shopping mall in Nairobi, and the illegal ivory trade?
There's really good evidence that the illegal ivory trade, the funding, the money that's coming from that, is fueling and financing terrorism, not just in Kenya and Somali with Al-Shabaab and Al-Qaeda activities, but also Joseph Kony in Uganda and the militias in Central Africa.
So this like blood diamonds.
That's exactly what it is. And the Moore attack in Kenya, which was really associated with Al-Qaeda and with Al-Shabaab, probably was financed in part through the sales of ivory, yes.
You're based in Nairobi. Is it true that you were thinking about shopping at the Westgate Mall on the morning of the attack?
I was actually on my way to a big literature festival. I drove right past the mall at about 9:30, and at 11:30, when we were in the middle of one of our sessions, I got a call that there was gunshots, and you know, by lunchtime, we were told there were grenades and that five people had died. And by 6 o'clock, it was, you know, it was horrendous. We just shut down the whole festival and left. I was only 2 kilometers away. One of our literary guests was the famous author Kofi Awuna. He's a Ghanaian poet, amazing man. And he had gone shopping and he was shot down in the very first minutes of that attack, him and his son. Thank God his son survived, but he was killed.
How has the mood in Kenya changed since the attack, especially in the light of the scandal over how the military dealt with the situation?
You know, I think the mood in general is complete shock and sadness. I think it's just so hard to believe that this happened right under our noses in one of the most popular places. If you look at the photographs, anybody who's been to Kenya has been to that mall probably, recognizes the shops and knows the big elephant that was at the out, you know, at the entrance of that mall.
A sculpted elephant.
It's a bronze elephant. The shopping mall that owns that whole complex is called Nakumat, and their logo is an elephant. I think that Kenyans are really angered at the failure of the government to to crack down on this situation quickly, and then to hear later on that actually maybe the defense forces themselves looted shops. You know, I haven't seen any actual proof of it, but just the fact that there is that concern, it's just heartbreaking.
John, a study by Wildlife Direct found that fewer than 5% of convictions for wildlife crimes lead to jail sentences. What is the typical punishment for elephant poaching?
Well, it's pathetic. Up until recently, it's been $200 and a slap on the wrist, and off you go.
Is that true throughout the African countries that are homes to these wild elephants?
Oh, you know, I think it's actually worse in other countries than Kenya. I don't think that the magistrates in so many of these nations recognize wildlife crimes as really crimes against the nation, and there's tremendous corruption. There's tremendous. It doesn't rise to a very high level. However, thanks to the work of Paula and some others in Kenya, that is about to change. I'll have Paula tell about it. But she's been working with Parliament and hoping that those penalties will be huge. One of the latest things, which is very exciting, is that a Chinese woman was caught with a huge cache of ivory trying to leave the country, and she was given, I believe, 31 months in a jail in Kenya, which is not a very pleasant place to spend your 31 months.
Still, we're talking about 31 months rather than a number of years. These elephants are, many of them are in reserves, they are important to tourism. You would think that these countries would be more intent on protecting them.
I think there's just a breakdown between the various different agencies that are responsible. You'd think the tourism industry would have taken this up more seriously, and even the conservation organizations. But I think that it was assumed that once a poacher gets caught, and there's plenty of enforcement in Kenya, we probably have the best law anti-poaching force in the entire region. So loads of people get arrested, but whether they go to court, and if they do go to court, whether they get prosecuted properly and then charged and fined or sentenced, that's another matter. And that's really what we've been working on, saying that actually the law does allow jail sentences, so these people must go to jail. That's why the Chinese woman went to jail. But under the new legislation that we're proposing, we're asking for 15-year minimum sentences.
Isn't China one of the only countries where the sale of recently acquired ivory is still legal? Why is the demand for ivory in China increasing?
Oh, this has got so much to do with the Chinese culture and fashion, you know, patterns. The Chinese people themselves desire ivory because of, what they believe it relates to. It's prestige. It's a big, valuable product that people actually invest in. And this has been a real problem because
it's
the Chinese...
It's kind of like gold?
Yeah, exactly. But also, with the Chinese economy has risen so rapidly that you have this enormous growing middle class that can afford it, who couldn't afford it in the past. And that's been the biggest threat to elephants.
Well, rhino horns have been prized because they're made into powder and used as some kind of a medicine,
right.
But not elephant tusks.
Are
they mostly used to be carved?
Exactly. Elephant ivory has been used to carve into figurines, many of them religious figurines. But also chopsticks and name stamps. They're called hankos in Japan, but these are little stamps which they use for signing official documents.
John, how is the ivory smuggled out of Africa? Hasn't it been alleged that some of it has been smuggled in diplomatic pouches?
Well, that's what we believe. We have evidence. The Environmental Investigation Agency has very solid evidence that in both Zambia, in Egypt, and in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, especially, it goes out in the diplomatic pouches. And the Chinese deny this vociferously, but the evidence points in that direction. Let me just add one other thing about China, is that the Chinese middle class now is at a level that is equivalent to the entire population of the United States. When I was in China working on this film, we conducted a survey, a market research survey, and we found that 80% of the Chinese middle class, defined by any family earning more than $32,000 a year and up, was in possession of one or more pieces of ivory, and that 84% of them intended to buy more in the future, and that 68% of them recognized that all or part was illegal. Now, one of the things, I was in a store talking to a shop girl who was, I said to her sort of innocently, "Why is ivory so prized?" And she said, "Well, you know, in Chinese houses, we all have glass cabinets, and if we Chinese could put dollar bills in stacks on those shelves, we would do that. But we know that's not very cool. So instead, we put ivory and jade."
Does the United States have an ivory stockpile, Paula?
It does, absolutely. In fact, the United States has legal ivory trade, which is one of the biggest challenges for us. The stockpile in this country is about 6 tons, but thankfully the Fish and Wildlife Service has decided to destroy it next week.
Well, you've said that 30% of the ivory here is illegal.
Yeah.
But it's still being traded?
Yes.
Are we signatories to the ban?
Yes, the USA is a signatory to the ban, but a lot of the ivory that is being traded in this country is old ivory that is pre-ban ivory, and that's legal, so long as you have the correct paperwork. But what's happening is that legal ivory and the paperwork is being laundered. The illegal ivory is being laundered through that system, and that's what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service have so effectively cracked down on.
And they are going to crush 6 tons of ivory seized by special agents and wildlife inspectors ordered by President Obama.
Yeah.
Do you see that as a step in the right direction?
Absolutely. I think it's so interesting. Just last week, we were at the Clinton Global Initiative, and Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton, together with 7 African presidents and many, many conservation organizations, made a commitment, which was to stop the buying of ivory, stop the trafficking of ivory, and stop the demand for ivory. So the demand in this country is really where the U.S. needs to put a lot of focus.
Well, isn't part of the problem that the ban is on international trade but not domestic trade?
Yes, the demand is on international trade, but a lot of people want to own ivory because they can also move it around. And if you crack down on the domestic trade, you crack down on the demand altogether, whether it's for domestic or international trade. You know, face it, consciously or subconsciously, if you own ivory, no matter how old it is, you're part of the demand.
If you have a piano that has ivory keys,
absolutely,
you're part of the problem.
All of those elephants were slaughtered.
So what can listeners do to find out more information? I know there's a parade, and I'll give the information about the parade in just a moment. But is there anything else they can do?
Absolutely. There are 3 things that people can do. The first thing they can do is actually take part in the walk and learn more. Check out our website, wildlifedirect.org. We've got a lot of information about what we are doing in our Hands Off Our Elephants campaign. We also want Americans to lobby for the ban on the domestic trade in ivory in this country so that we remove the possibility of illegal ivory being laundered in the system. And to ask and demand that the country actually takes criminals seriously. For example, Victor Gordon, who pleaded guilty last year for trafficking about a ton of ivory, and he still hasn't been sentenced until today. And finally, as I said, if anybody in this country owns ivory, whether it was given to them or they inherited it or no matter how they got it, consciously or unconsciously, they are part of that demand. And so we're asking people in the United States, in Kenya and all around the world, to hand in that ivory, wash their hands of the blood of elephants, and make a statement.
The walk convenes tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. at the corner of 42nd Street and 12th Avenue, and then we'll leave promptly at 11 a.m. walking to the UN Plaza at 47th Street and 2nd Avenue, where there will be speakers from 12:45 to 2:30 p.m. For more information, you can visit, is it iWorry.org?
Exactly. You can register for the march at iWorry.org and join us. Wildlife Direct will be there with our hands off our elephants. You'll see us in our characteristic black T-shirts. We have many famous people will be actually attending this march and speaking at the end, including Ian Douglas Hamilton, Patrick Omondi, who's from Kenya, and other speakers.
And I thank both of you so much for being on our show, Dr. Paula Kahumbu, CEO of Wildlife Direct, and also John Hemingway, Chairman of Wildlife Direct. There's a film. Can people just get this National Geographic special in any store, Battle for the Elephants?
Well, you can get it from the National Geographic. You can get it from PBS, or you can go on my website, www.hemingway.net. And that you can just upload it that way.
And thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.